Chris, we talked last time about the Farm Bill. Now, let's take on one of the more contentious issues, and that's the continuation of the Bush tax cuts and tax reform.
Well, let me tell you that I think that the way forward is to extend the current rates for 1 year and allow both parties to come together and conduct comprehensive pro-growth tax reform. And what we need to do is, you take a look at last year, for example. We took in $2.5 trillion in revenues. We left out there $1.3 trillion in revenues, commonly called loopholes or deductions. And what I voted for in the bipartisan budget, Cooper-LaTourette, was that there was guidance given to the Ways and Means Committee and said the Congress is to conduct comprehensive pro-growth tax reform, but beginning by protecting the middle class deductions. So we're talking about the mortgage interest and health care expenses, certainly want to protect local and state taxes. So we start with the idea that we protect those deductions. And then of the $1.3 trillion that was left, we put that on the table. And then we work in a bipartisan way to close the loopholes that are not helping create jobs. We have a very complex and unfair tax code right now that I believe favors multinational corporations. And so this kind of pro-growth tax reform is going to help upstate New York. It's going to help upstate New York because when we close those loopholes, that's going to allow us to lower rates. It's going to help our small business and middle class. You take a look at, and why I believe this is really important for our country is, and when you take a look at the revenues that we brought in, we lost $300 billion a year when we went into recession. So, you know, when you're looking at trying to address pro-growth and deficit factors, we have to get that revenue back.
Well, I hate to say this, Chris, but you sound a little like a Democrat here.
No,
because the fact of the matter is that the way this is usually breaking down is the president says, let's lower the taxes on the middle class, but let's get after some of those folks who are paying no taxes at the top or very little in taxes. Now, you got all these lobbyists who are coming in. You know them. They bother you. They come in. They knock on your door and they say, I want a specific loophole for this corporation or that. Why are they going to go away? I don't get it.
Well, I think there's a wide recognition that the tax code right now is complex and unfair. And the kind of pro-growth tax reform I'm advocating for is going to help upstate New York. So I would just tell you that. I view it more from a pragmatist standpoint of somebody who's representing small businesses. Two-thirds of our jobs, actually even 70% of our jobs, come from small businesses in our area.
Sure.
And, you know, those kind of folks can't afford to hire a whole wing of lawyers to go find these loopholes. When I was studying the tax code, I met with a CPA, and then I also met with an IRS agent who she came to me in her off-duty time, and she was tutoring me on a lot of these different things. One of the times she came, she brought with her, she had printed off the internet. It was a how-to to avoid paying taxes. I mean, this was something that's legal.
So, for example?
Well, I mean, you've got dense financial instruments. You've got a corporation here that may have a subsidiary in Canada that takes out a financial instrument in Hungary, and somehow through all of this, they get to deduct interest, even though it doesn't even appear that they're doing that. I mean, we have written our tax laws in such a way that if you can hire an expert, you can find a way to get a deduction when there's no clear, tangible, positive evidence that it's helping us. It's helping our country grow jobs. So, you know, some of the things have actually been celebrated in the media. Those things need to close. Like, for example, loopholes for oil companies. Those subsidies, we should close them. Corporate jets, absolutely, we should close them. In creating jobs overseas or moving jobs overseas, that shouldn't be rewarded. In fact, we should reward jobs that are created here. So these are the kind of things we can get done in pro-growth tax reform, because you look at our area here. I mean, we have to change this code to help our small business owners and our middle class. Here's why this is so important. Because, you know, when I mentioned we lost $300 billion when we went into recession. So how do we get jobs going, right? And I think the parties talk past each other. You often see the Republicans talk about supply side. You see the Democrats talk about demand side. I think it's both. I really do. There's six factors that I see to growth. There's tax reform, there's regulatory reform and relief, there's driving down healthcare costs and energy costs, and then there's smart investments. And I'm talking about roads and bridges, absolutely, but there's broadband, there's education, and then finally capital and markets. But when you look at all this, you need to have small business in the place that it's profitable, that is to say, prepared to recapitalize, buy new equipment, and to expand and hire new workers. But if there isn't a demand for the product, then where are you?
Now, Chris, you've been known to go against your own party on some votes. Is that difficult? I mean, you know, that Republicans have always been seen as being a party that pretty strong on party unity. But I've seen you take some very courageous votes. And I just wonder what it's like to be put into that position.
Well, I know who I am and I know who I work for. And I think what freed me up to a degree is when I've self-imposed term limits. You know, I've said I'll serve not more than 8 years. So, you know, my focus is to serve this district. And, you know, I think for some, you know, what influences them is their idea that they want to keep moving up in the party apparatus, whereas I've already said there's a horizon of which I'll serve, and I'm already getting things done. It had led the effort along with Peter Welch to get storm relief, you know, the broadband initiative. I overturned the leadership's decision on that. So, you know, to me, after having been shot at, you know, the idea that somebody would come and pressure me on something, I certainly listen to everybody and treat everybody with dignity and respect. But I think sometimes when they think they're bringing it to me, it's not like I've seen. It's not the pressure I've seen. But I did want to double back and just make this final point on tax reform. That I was talking to you about getting small business in that place, but then we need the demand. Here's why tax reform fits into this. Because, you know, the middle class historically has spent 96% of its take-home pay.
Sure.
And so when the middle class sees—
Or more.
Or, you know, for a period of time they were. But yeah. actually middle class actually figured it out before the rest of the government. They started, in fact, in terms of not overspending.
Yeah.
But the point is that when we go through this tax reform and through tax reform and through driving healthcare costs and energy costs down, when middle class families have more disposable income, they'll spend 96% of it. And that's that demand.
Sure.
That's the demand we need, which will in turn get the revenues back in the treasury. So this is how, through pro-growth, comprehensive tax reform, we will get this economy going, we'll get Americans back to work, and that will be the first steps to moving us back towards a balanced budget.
Okay, I have just a minute. I want to go back to pursue you a little bit more on this bipartisan way that you do business. Are your constituents, do they know that you are capable of voting with the Democrats when you think it's right?
Well, I communicate. You know, I'm in all 165 towns. I've been to every one of them. I've listened. I've communicated the kind of representation. I come on shows like this. I do regular interviews. I do my very best to get the word out about the representation I'm bringing to the region. I think it's very important. Like in this election, I want to see a strong bipartisan vote because I think that helps me with a mandate when I go down and I serve. You know, the last poll that we did, I was drawing about 20% of Democrats, and I had about a 7-point advantage on independents. I think this is really important because when I bring that kind of representation to the Congress, what I call a pragmatic approach, which is serving the upstate community, I think that a vote that matches that puts me in a stronger position. So, you know, I'm asking for consideration today, Republicans, Democrats, and independents to take a look, take a close look at my record and to support me on Election Day.
Well, Chris Gibson, thank you so much for being with us. Always love it when you're here. We'll come back and talk some more.
Thank you, Alan.